Welcome to episode 67 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is January the 6th, 2012. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my New Year celebrating brother, James Furlough.
I heard you got a little miserable yesterday.
Oh man, not yesterday. Yesterday I got unchained. The day before I got miserable. Yeah, I was. This weekend was a good weekend for movies. I saw Les Mis, Les Miserables on Friday night. And then I watched it, Django Unchained yesterday, and both intense and pretty fantastic movies in their own way. You probably won't like Django, but I think you'd like Les Mis.
Jesse wants to go see it, so it'll probably happen at some point.
Yeah, it's a good one. I had friends that have been fans of, like, they would like regularly go to the stage version of it in San Francisco like twice a year, and I didn't understand why they liked it so much, and after watching the movie I'm like, yeah, I could see how that would be pretty cool actually as a stage production.
Well, at first I tried with Jesse, I was like, I think it's in French, I don't think you'll understand it, and then she like she was like, no, well let me look, so she looked, she's like, no, I think it's in English. I was like, dang,
yeah,
okay, well,
it's not bad. You don't mind musicals, right? I mean,
no, I don't.
Okay, I don't. Yeah, see.
But you're gonna kick out of this. This Saturday we didn't go anywhere. Instead, we were watching Dogs because Jesse and I signed up for Dog Vacay, which is like Airbnb for pets, basically.
Nice.
So we watched these couple. We watched these dogs. Okay.
Yeah.
There are two of them. The first one, the male, his name was Pippin. And the second one, the female, her name was Mary.
Nice.
And the owners were dropping them off so that they could go up to Portland in 3D IMAX, watch, care to guess, what movie?
I'm guessing it's not Les Mis. The Hobbit.
No. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're kind of big Tolkien fans. I was like, yeah, I hope to shout.
I can tell.
You're paying, like, money for people to watch your pets while you go watch a movie. That's amazing.
That's hilarious. Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
It's pretty awesome. It's like, man, you guys are super fans. That's awesome.
You've seen The Hobbit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And 24 frames, 2D.
Oh, super lame.
I know. But it's all right. It was still good. Yeah. I liked it. I was bummed when it ended. I was like, ah, there's still more to go. Why are we stopping? But I understand.
Yeah, there's
some people
got to
use the banyo.
There's two more three-hour movies to follow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I'll be
crazy. Anyways, thus ending our regular movie review section of the podcast. This week, we're not going to be talking about movies. You know what? I don't even know why I say that we're not going to be talking about movies, because we do almost every week. But what we actually came here to talk about is technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. Before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a short disclosure that he'd like to throw out there.
Yeah, I work for HP. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of their opinions.
Mm-hmm. But what we do throw it around as though it makes all of his opinions more valid.
That's true.
For the sake of the show.
Well, I would say that I am informed by my employment with HP.
Ah, yes. That's a good way to put it. So if you want to follow us throughout the week, feel free to do that. My personal Twitter, which carries all sorts of, you know, fun comments and interesting stuff, is at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
And did you see that I finally updated my Twitter profile picture? I've been using the same one for...
Oh, no,
since I
didn't.
Signed up for Twitter like years ago, it's that, and it was
Twitter.com/ what was it? Matthew D. Furlough.
Amen.
Loading, loading, loading. Oh. It's a picture of you and the universe. Let's see. You are the unsung hero drinking something.
Yeah, well, that's a Rusty Screw is the name of that drink, but or Rusty Nail. I can't remember. Whatever. It tastes awful.
I don't know.
But it's a no. I wanted to make the because for me, like, for whatever reason, like, Facebook profile, like, I actually, like, rotate through those things kind of regularly. Mm. I didn't find one and have just stuck with it. Whereas, like, Twitter, I had kind of stuck with the rendering of me that was done by one of my friends as a South Park character, and I decided that it's time to look like an adult. So I picked a picture of me drinking, which I'm not sure that was. Anyways, if you want to follow the show podcast, where we give interesting updates about the show and what's going on, and announce schedule changes for, like, when we'll be doing the show, which will be important, you can check those out at Furlough Bros. That's our main Twitter. But you can also go to the if you can't remember all these different, or you just want a direct link, you can always go to furloughbros.com, and that's our main website, the hub of our universe. We've got all sorts of cool links there. All the articles that we talk about, we host over there. Links to each individual podcast, big archives. It's awesome. I would go check it out if I were you. Check it out all the time. And as we pointed out last week, it's a really good archive of interesting stuff that's happened over the years. So if you're looking for, you know, it's kind of your highlights, place to peruse.
So as you know, it is a new year, and so I just lost a shoe. So in the
spirit,
the spirit. Thank
Zeitgeist.
You. I was like, the vestiges. That is not the right word.
Vestiges.
I know enough not to say it, but that's the only word I can think of. In the spirit of it being a new year, and listening to listener feedback. How about that?
Yes.
We're going to try some experiments, at least the beginning part of the year. We'll see how this works. There's still stuff I need to figure out how to do. So what this means for you, trusty listeners, is a couple of things. The first one is various times throughout the show, you will hear me go, and you're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. That is because I'm going to be experimenting with splitting the show into different segments throughout the week to share with people who – it's going to be awesome – whine and complain about it being too long.
Yeah, they want bite-sized morsels. They can't take the awesomeness of the fire hydrant approach that we do with this podcast.
I get, right? So in an attempt to appease them and amass thousands of followers, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. That also means that the current feed is going to become a firehose feed, and we're going to have to create two separate ones, one for the main long show and then one for clips only. And then obviously there'll be the firehose that kind of has it all. I haven't worked out the exact mechanics of how all that's going to work.
So if you've got your face, I see. So if you're, I think the goal though is that, you know, if you're in iTunes and you got your stuff all set up, hopefully the length of the show actually won't change. We're just going to be trying to break it up into bite-sized morsels so that it's a little bit easier to digest over the course of the week, and gives a little more structure, gives us an opportunity to pause and go to the bathroom if we need to, you know, that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
I don't think anything will. You probably won't notice anything. It'll all be post-processing.
At this point, but the thing is that it should be. We're trying to make this as painless as possible, yet at the same time improve the quality of the show and improve your ability to listen to what you want to listen to. So please hang on, and be excited. This is exciting, guys.
Yeah. And the last bit of news is next week the show is going to be done at a different time because I'm teaching a class Sunday nights for like the next 8 weeks, and so I'm not gonna be available. We'll figure it out. I sprung it on Matthew tonight and he was like, I don't know when I'm free.
We don't
have an official time yet.
if you're into the podcast, once again, you won't notice. That's only if you listen to the live broadcast will really affect you.
And now I think we're 15 minutes in and have not talked about tech, which will make for a fun segment.
All right, so I'm going to, That's a good point. Okay, want me to start? I'll start.
Do it.
Okay, HTML5.
Wait. Oh, you're okay. Listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Go ahead.
You're going to break out the intro segment as a separate segment?
Okay. I don't know yet.
You're just going to throw like 17 of those in every time we room with
it. I'm feeling it out.
Wait. You're listening to.
I thought about going crazy and doing it after every story. Then I was like, wow, I need to maintain my sanity.
Yeah, no, that'd be rough. Especially because we try to keep it organized. But anyways, HTML5 is finally live.
So phew.
This beast that we've been playing around with since the launch of the iPhone 5 years ago. Everybody... What?
So, it wasn't live earlier? I don't understand. I
feel it was. So this is what happened.
It's like we were soft working opening
with, that we were, everyone we were working about. With... Right. Well, we were working with HTML4 because it's like these ratifying committees. They basically say, these are all the different standards we put in place. These are the different things. And so what that's meant to do is that anybody who builds a browser will have to render certain elements. They'll take in your HTML, your hypertext markup language. So all of like the written out stuff, all your tags and everything, these tags will do this certain thing in this way. And so it's just a very regimented way of doing it so that every browser will render HTML the same way so that you can write your code once or your web page once and it'll work on every browser, which doesn't really work. But by having one standard, it makes it way easier and gets you way closer. Well, Apple got all like persnickety when they launched the iPhone. And Steve Jobs in particular, because he didn't want to have to use
Flash.
Flash, and so they just sort of jumped the gun and said, we're going to go with the HTML5 standard as it is, and so, which was in the process of being ratified. The problem was that they had to throw in a whole bunch of different things to sort of like. Because it wasn't done yet, so they had to basically finish it and said, and this is what we're doing, which was the birth of WebKit, which was an open source platform rendering engine that Apple developed. Eventually, Google took over the project. Chrome is based on WebKit. Safari is based on it. Mozilla's not, but it borrows from it heavily. IE isn't, and it's driving Microsoft crazy. But finally...
So is HTML5 now compatible with WebKit?
Yeah, well, see, that's the funny part about this is that it's like kind of, not entirely.
No,
WebKit's further along than HTML5, but it's like, so yeah, literally like 5 years later, we're finally to the point where we're like setting standards. This is the perfect time for this sort of thing to be happening. But you know, it's a slow body. They're very thorough, and it's a good thing. But it's now the joke that everybody was like getting on about, I thought was pretty funny, was like, okay, we start the experience countdown timer now. So if you are a headhunter, listen, if you are a headhunter and you're looking for an employee, you know, a new employee, you can no longer request somebody with 3 to 5 years of HTML5 experience. Because HTML5 didn't technically exist until this week. So it starts now. Everybody has 0 years experience. Of course, but it doesn't change anything. That's the irony in all of this, is it doesn't, it like changes next, well, I don't know if it's really irony, but it changes next to nothing.
It'll change. It'll shape things, you know, 10 years from now.
Well, yeah.
You know, in the sense that WebKit will slowly, you know, in places that it makes sense, conform to HTML5. But I've unfortunately these bodies. I don't even want to say it was ever okay. But they're moving way too slow.
Yeah.
I understand the whole we want to be thorough and stuff like that. But I got an idea. Come out with a standard. And then revise it every once in a while instead of waiting until it's perfect.
Right, and I think it's interesting that neither Apple nor Google nor Mozilla nor Windows are really what?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like the whole SIM card. The SIM card thing gets taken care of in a prompt manner because it's all handled by these major corporations that really drive it.
Right.
And the standards body, in my opinion, you know, should be really driven by, you know, it's a little bit different when you're talking about manufacturing standards versus an open standard like HTML. But I don't understand why, like, you get the smartest engineers in the world. They're basically figuring this stuff out as they go. Why aren't these guys also at the same time in parallel working with the standards committee and trying to figure it all out? But it's, you know, it's a turf war in a lot of ways. And the HTML body, they are as into the power and control as Apple or Google is in controlling their little dominion and what they do and how they, you know, and their own self-importance, which, you know, and that's, I mean, that's the case of why was Internet Explorer the way it was for years? Because of stupid self-importance. They're trying to leverage yourself and keep your job, basically what it comes down to. If they let Google and Apple take over, they lose their job. You know, and it's not to say that a standard isn't important, but a lot of this slowness and disagreements comes out of the fact that it's, you know, if you weren't important, then why are you here? And so they make sure that they're important. And yeah. I don't know. I think they exclude the bigger corporations and the other engineers out of the process, largely to their detriment. But, you know, that's my opinion on it. But it's live. Yahoo!
Yeah. Congratulations. So, get back to work.
Yeah, really.
Work on HTML 5.2 or whatever they're on. Cool. It's kind of like you said, one of those, yay, you did it, not events.
Right.
WebKit wins, at least today. So, until the next one comes out. So this is kind of exciting. Do you remember Leap Motion?
I do remember them because I have a buddy who works for him. That's trying to get him to.
That's the one that has. It has that sensor bar down at the bottom so that you can basically reach out to the screen using fingers and gestures without actually having to touch the screen. You know, it's got a protocol and programs, you know, can then access it, that kind of stuff. So they had a little bit of a banner week, which is cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They made a couple of announcements. The first one is they struck a deal with Asus to bundle their Leap Motion controller with their laptops and their all-in-one PCs.
Nice.
So that's going to be very cool. Plus, they were able to raise another round of venture capital worth $30 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and basically that's going to allow them to advertise, get the word out, and, you know, start making stuff.
I was going to say, $30 million is production money. That's what that is. It's done. Now we need to start making these boxes.
Yeah, and their goal is to start selling them later this year, priced around $70.
It's not terrible. I mean, especially for a first-generation version of the system. You know, I would have to have a use case. I'd have to have a use case. But, you know, with Windows 8 and, like, all the... this might be a good time to start moving into this. It's a perfect time. So with Windows 8 and all of their
listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast.
Do you want to give a real one?
Yeah, I could do it.